be a spy in Pooran.
Now, as a guest, you know, you can pick some intro music if you'd like.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, if you have anything in particular.
You know, I don't really.
I mean, we could go with a classic. We could just go with a classic. Hold on.
Go ahead.
One-handed typing. Not a jack-off thing.
I was like, you should be an expert at that, I would think, but...
Oh, I'm pretty good at it.
It's amazing you can find Lucero songs one-handed.
I think someone needs to invent the iPhone that's like, this one's meant to type with just your one thumb while you jack off. And has a leash so it won't fall in the toilet.
It's like a Wiimote or something?
Yeah, basically. I think you can make a lot of money.
Nintendo needed to make a porn thing. Like a porn viewing device, basically.
Yeah, Nintendo should do it. That seems like the right group. Miyamoto's like, I remember going into the woods as a young boy to jack off. I didn't tell that part of the Zelda creation story before, but it's really
important.
It was
important. Why I was in the woods in the first place.
Yeah, I didn't say I was out there to jerk off. But so be it.
I needed a jerk off on a squirrel. It's the only thing that gets me hard.
Yeah, when you live a life like this.
Why do you think all the Mario games have all these squirrel suits and raccoon things? It's what he likes to masturbate on.
He's just a furry.
Yeah. Well, he's not so much a furry. He likes to jerk off onto the squirrel. He doesn't have to be dressed as a squirrel.
And he had a foot fetish, that one boot in Mario 3.
Just slide into the boot and bounce around.
The one green boot.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, shit. This isn't going into my headphones at all. This has gone terribly wrong.
Already?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're recording all of this, too.
I have to plug it in all the way. Whatever. Okay, here we go. I found a classic.
Production, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's always either, it's got to be Gary Glitter or Lucero. Those are my go-to bands. Okay, what the fuck? That was... Okay, hold on. Gary Glitter will come through for us.
Bring us in, Gary. Come on now.
So we can't start the show without a song, even though it's been going on for like 5 minutes already.
You know what the problem is? I'm connected to the wrong network here. We have our network, then we have our network relay thing that I hooked up because the internet doesn't work very well. Because we share it with our neighbors. You hear that, Comcast?
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it.
How's that working out for you?
Bad.
Yeah.
It works out quite poorly.
Turns out Comcast is having the last laugh. Yeah. Let's see.
You're bragging about, like, we got this relay to share our wireless network, and Comcast goes, okay, have fun.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, yeah, you figured it out. We're screwed. What do we do? Okay, here we go. These videos are ridiculous. He looks like a David Bowie, but awful.
Yeah.
Like if a young John Goodman decided to do a David Bowie thing, you would have Gary Glitter.
A young John Goodman is like, he's doing this for a set and he's trying to do a David Bowie impression and someone's going to say, listen, tone it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Too much energy there. Way too much flailing.
Okay, hey everybody. Welcome. We have a very special show today. I have not one, not three, but two guests with me in the studio today. I have...
it's Ian. You were just staring at me. I thought you were going to introduce. Yeah, hi, Ian. What's up, everybody?
Hey, Ian. And I also have...
This is Darren.
Hi, Darren. You're brand new.
I am
to
brand new.
Well, to being on the show.
To being on the show. Long time listener.
Not really a brand new
first
person.
First time caller.
Not a baby.
No.
Not an actual baby. long time listener, first time caller. Welcome. Thank you. What brings you to the show today?
I was in town and finally in the same place as you, so I thought it'd be fun to get on and good friends with Ian for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys know each other quite well.
Yes, we do.
The last time I remember seeing you guys both was you were having some kind of drunken argument about, like, drilling polar ice caps or something like that.
Yeah.
It was a very weird
I think we were having an argument about the last time we saw each other.
Yeah,
and
that's
the piece
right.
of evidence was like our conversation that we had about like permafrost.
The time frame of, yeah,
it
and
was.
So that was like the critical piece of evidence or something like that.
Yeah, and that almost like revived the previous permafrost discussion yes, or something. And then it was like you weren't agreeing on the last time you saw each other, nor whether this permafrost issue had been resolved.
Right.
But this was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 10 years ago or something, maybe.
I think it was maybe 8-9 years ago. So yeah.
We've all aged. Mm-hmm. We've all aged. Me poorly.
Yeah, me too. It's good.
Hey, all right on. So when you're not here doing this radio show this one time, you do science-y things.
I do, yes.
Is that correct?
Yep, that's right.
Do you want to, can you reveal that? Is that
sure,
okay?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, tell us about it.
So I'm a biology technician, so not really a biologist in the true sense of the word. They kind of handle more the actual data analysis and funding.
Oh,
and,
yeah, you keep going.
We're looking at cats now?
No, Cassie just came. Oh. I mean, Poom Master Flex came home.
Poom Master Flex. Her name cannot be revealed.
Yeah.
Good day, Poom Master. So I do more of the technician side of it, which is I work with wildlife, mostly do population dynamics. So my focus is mostly on safely capturing animals and then collecting data. And I work in kind of remote field locations in Antarctica and the Northwest One Islands.
That's
working with
awesome.
Seabirds and seals mostly. But it's mostly like population dynamics, data collection for smarter people that actually analyze it and can make it mean something.
That's pretty cool. So you capture animals. So is this like on horseback, like Planet of the Apes? Like throw a net over them?
A little bit of, there's definitely some net throwing. Yeah.
Hey, do you have a net gun?
Have you seen one? Yeah.
Wow.
They use them to catch birds.
So that's a real, really?
Condors and some other birds, yeah.
Like, can you catch them out of the air with a net gun? Or can one?
I've never seen that. I think the preferred is get them when they're perching.
Sure.
Yeah.
And sort of like get a net.
Shoot them out of the sky.
I guess I'm picturing a cross between Neil deGrasse Tyson and Crocodile Dundee.
I like it. Yeah.
In the winter.
I thought you were imagining something like where they go out to like the middle of Antarctica with this Jeep and it's mounted on the back of a Jeep and they're firing these nets into the air.
Yeah, or maybe like a battle
kind of crazy
van.
Turret. Yeah, a battle van.
Or like a t-shirt cannon and it envelops them in a t-shirt.
It's very similar to a t-shirt cannon, actually.
There you go. See, I know science.
Yeah.
I know all kinds of science. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to go to Antarctica, but it seems like that's a difficult place to go unless you have like... It seems like the country or the land where they're like, are you doing something here or just fucking around?
Yeah,
okay, then
yeah.
You need to leave.
Pretty much, yep. Yeah,
get out of here.
It's really hard to get down there unless you're a scientist. There are cruise ships, actually, that go down there that I don't go on cruises, but
yeah.
It's probably a pretty cool option for a cruise if people are doing that kind of thing. I'm not sure how I feel about the ships operating down there, but that's pretty much the only way for civilians that I know of to get down there.
Like, I've seen a lot of advertisements for cruise ships that kind of like go by Antarctica, but it never seems to say that they stop.
Yeah,
like,
some of them do. Some of them will put people off on the peninsula. Like National Geographic has the Explorer, I think is what it's called, that will put people on land and stuff like that. But
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I would do that. I guess I should look into that. Antarctic cruise. That seems like either that or get a degree in science.
Yeah.
These seem to be
science
my options.
Is definitely the... You get to see a lot more if you do the science side of it, so...
I'm picturing, like, the time lapse of this. It's like, okay, I want to go to Antarctica, and I'm like, all right, I need to get a science degree, and then it's time lapse of me one semester, and then it shows my grades F, and it's like... Okay, I'm going to just start saving for this cruise then. I'm going to take my student loan that I took out for this science degree and just apply it to
a
cruise.
I'm just going to go on a cruise instead. We'll call it good.
Just like take out a huge student loan, go on the cruise right away.
Yeah, and I'll just bring graph paper and be like, oh, this is science. Fuck you. What are you talking about?
There's a lot of support staff with science operations, though, so there's jobs for cooks and mechanics and stuff like that.
Garbage man
hosts,
or something?
Definitely. There's a library.
Well, there. Really? How is it?
It's amazing, actually. It's the one at McMurdo has a bunch of original books from some of the kind of explorers from the turn of the century that are unreal, and some naturalist books that have drawings of birds that are, it's a lot of just like original
So they keep that stuff really on cool. site, huh?
They do. I mean, it's not the biggest library, but it's pretty impressive.
That's pretty crazy.
I haven't been there, but I've heard the British station actually has an even more impressive. They have a big, nice reading room and like a bunch of...
I like how they keep them some of the most important books about Antarctica in Antarctica where nobody can read them.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's like, there's a really great book about all these ancient birds. Can you read it? No.
Oh, God.
It's there.
I'm kind of looking for more of a beach read right now, to be honest with you.
Do you have the new Janet Ivanovich?
So you're headed back that way.
Yeah, tomorrow I head back.
And then you'll be there for the winter?
No, just it's...
Well, I guess it's summer there, right?
It is summer there right now, yeah. And I'm going for... It's a short jaunt for me this time. It's only a month and a half, and I'll be on a research cruise on the peninsula doing seabird work, so...
Nice.
Yeah, thanks.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't been for a couple of years. I took a couple of years that I didn't go, so I'm excited to get back.
Fair enough.
So I have a quick question about putting a seal in a net.
Uh-huh.
Actually, two questions. So one...
Is it fun?
Well, I guess that's three questions, yeah. Four. But I'm assuming you do it on land rather than in the water.
Yeah, absolutely. Really avoid water, actually.
That because in the water, they can move much faster and your net gun doesn't work as well.
And we actually use more of a capture net that's held by two people to capture seals. Or there's for adults, there's a couple different methods, but there's another big net that you drape over the front of the seal, but... them going in the water is really dangerous because with the net on they could drown, so that's kind of possible. We don't want that to happen. That's a bad scenario. Go ahead.
My other question was, did you ever find a seal clubber and then try to shoot that clubber with the net gun like Captain Planet style?
No, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, do people fuck around and like shoot each other with the net gun? Is that a thing that you've seen?
We've captured people in nets to test the nets. To make sure that they are secure for picking up a seal.
Now, see, this is a job that I could handle.
Yeah.
They're like, just run, and we'll see the effectiveness of this net gun.
Right.
Can it get you if you're running? Can it get you if you kind of duck a little bit?
Yeah.
Can you kind of flop on the beach like a seal?
Could I make my way into the water if I was doing the worm along the ice? Also, do you guys do, like, darts? Is that a thing?
I haven't done much
tranquilizing darts.
I've done some stuff with whales where we took biopsies using darts, but we weren't darting them to sedate them in any way. They do use they dart wolves and sheep and goats and stuff
just
like that.
Roofie them and then they
pretty much they do it from some projects do it from a helicopter. They just fly around and dart animals and then it's safe to approach them and do whatever you need to do to them. And it's pretty interesting.
Do they play Flight of the Valkyries while they're doing it?
Or I sure would.
I love the smell of tranquilizing darts in the morning or whatever time it is here. I don't know.
It smells like human dominion.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so there's Antarctica and North Pole, and one has polar bears, one has penguins. Is that right?
That's totally
right. Is that the useful? And then Antarctica is penguins?
Yes, Antarctica is penguins.
Yeah.
So when, like, Coca-Cola shows them drinking Coke together, it's like, that's fucking bullshit. Yeah.
Everyone knows it's a scientific fact that polar bears drink Pepsi.
Absolutely.
If someone decided to introduce a polar bear to Antarctica, do you think it would survive?
It is great that you brought that up. I love that you brought that up. When I worked with Waddell Seals, the PI or the principal investigator on the project, that he wanted to do that. He was like, you could take a polar bear that cannot either emit just two males or whatever, one male, release it, and that's experimental biology. Get a chance to let an apex predator out into an ecosystem where there is no apex predator on land and see what happens.
Yeah.
But I think the NSF thought that was probably a ridiculous thing to do and decided not to do it. But it would be interesting. It'd be really interesting. The seals down there basically don't even pay attention to things on... I mean, they pay some attention, but they're not threatened by
there's
things
nothing
on land
because
there's
them.
No land predator. We can just walk right up next to them and there's almost no response. So
that's crazy.
It would be interesting to release a polar bear. Probably there's probably some ethics questions there, but
yeah,
it would be...
Can you kill a polar bear by overeating?
Yeah.
It's really the research question you have there.
Polar bear to die of obesity, yeah.
All right. Well, I did decide, because you were coming on the show, I thought maybe this show could use like an official science advisor.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I came up with some science questions. That's what we're going to call these. And so we're going to kind of go through these and see if you can answer or want to answer these or where this goes.
That sounds good. I'll do the disclaimer that my opinion is I'm not a specialist in probably any of the fields. So I'll give you my opinion, but I could be completely wrong about any of those.
That's fair. I mean, no one could be a specialist in all these fields. Yeah.
I'm not really sure who's listening to this for science advice. But
that's
idiots. No point. Yeah. If you're listening to this for science advice, you're a fool.
Right.
You should probably turn on Star Talk. Or not.
Or not.
Or just listen. Maybe you should see what the advice is like.
Maybe just get stoned and watch Cosmos.
Yeah.
Informative.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, it's super informative that way.
Ask Uncle Carl.
All right, number one. So I assume being in Antarctica, you're quite familiar with John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yes, yes.
Do you think it's a legit theory that MacReady, a.k.a. Kurt Russell, eventually becomes Snake Plissken?
That somehow he survives since he does survive the thing. Spoilers
he lost
for the
an
thing.
Eye. Somewhere spoilers. Along the way.
Uh huh.
Yeah, spoilers.
Spoilers for this 1980s movie.
Mm-hmm. I honestly don't know. That's a tough one.
Okay.
I'll submit a proposal to the NSF about it though. I like it.
Yeah, please do.
I'm
like, I know this polar bear thing is out there.
I'm trying to remember how he got off the island.
He doesn't. It ends with him just in flame.
I guess
town.
Snake Plissken always seems to just escape things and people don't really explain why.
Yeah,
so.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know, they talk about Detroit.
Right.
And it never shows Detroit, but he got out of there. He got out of L.A. He got out of New York. Why not? Maybe he started his career. Yeah.
He got out of the hardest place to get out of, which is Antarctica with a horrible alien beast behind him. Yeah.
And that's why after that, he was like, well, whatever. I can get out anywhere.
Yeah.
I can get us
like
out
Donald
of here
Trump.
Tonight. Yeah. Slippery bastard.
So Snake Plissken is the Donald Trump of, or Donald Trump is the Snake Plissken of politics. You That's heard it here first.
I think you should submit a science paper about them being the same guy, and then you should submit like a academic paper about how Escape from New York / LA Snake Plissken was meant to represent Donald Trump in the future. It's incontrovertible.
It's really
proof
like an allegory for a future event.
Yeah, it's incontrovertible evidence that someone traveled to the future at
the
some
new,
point.
The new category, future allegory.
Yeah, let's just assume
predictive
it was
allegory.
Let's just assume it was John Carpenter.
Mm.
Why not?
All right.
Okay. Number two.
Number two.
Is it really true that there's no such thing as two same snowflakes, or is that bullshit?
Well, there's no two same of anything. So in that sense, sure, but. There may be some truth to that. I don't know the exact answer. I don't think it matters, but
that's a good answer. I like that science answer. Doesn't fucking matter. Who cares?
Like if someone found two identical snowflakes, you'd be like, oh,
yeah.
Neat.
Differences in types of snow is important to know for certain specific things, avalanches, things like that, but I don't care about individual snowflakes.
I mean, it's kind of weird that, like,
flakes just aren't important.
I'm a jerk, yeah.
Like, I read a thing that most snowflakes, even though they're not the same shape, they're, like, basically the same size. And that there's not, like, a snowflake that's the size of an atom and then one that's the size of a dinner plate.
Sure.
That would be badass, though,
yeah,
if there was huge ones.
Plate,
yeah, or, like, a large pizza just fell
just
of
like,
snowflake.
I think there's variation in size, but within reason, it's
yeah,
there's
like,
a limit on each side. Yeah.
Like, there wouldn't be one that just whooshes through the air. Like, do you think if it was that big, it would be, like, a shuriken?
Yes, I imagine that's what it'd be
slice
like.
Slice through a car?
It would just be slicing through things.
If sci-fi is listening and you want to make one of your shitty Sharknado movies, this is your next giant snowflake, the movie.
The too bad Snowpiercer's already taken. It's gotta be like Snow Slicer.
Yeah, that's snow good enough. Yeah, I think that works.
Sleet Slicer. Sleetzer?
Let's Sleetzer. See. Is there a cereal called Snowflakes? Because there should be.
No, I think this is Jim Cocaine.
No, I think the cereal's about Bo Bergdahl. Oh, the other cereal.
Oh, god
cereal.
Damn it. Okay.
I like that it took a little while and the right. look of disgust.
I was like, Bo Bergdahl, what is that? You can't just make up a word on here. Number three, fucking magnets. How do they work?
Fucking magnets. How do they work? Physics. There's a long explanation, but it's just the way that things go.
Okay. I feel like everyone made fun of them for that question, and I'm like, well, I don't know how magnets work. I mean, kind of. Someone can tell me about electrons and shit, but then I'm like, I don't know what that...
Yeah.
That doesn't really mean anything to me.
One, there's... Magnetism is a big category, so, and I'm not a physicist, so I'm going to walk well outside of my expertise on this, but it's a huge category, so if you're talking about different things, like, most people understand what electromagnets are, that if you wrap a coil of copper wire around a pole and then put electricity through it, that it produces a magnetic field, and it's measurable, it's obvious, you don't necessarily know how they work to know what they do. And I think physicists do understand deeply how they work. I don't completely understand deeply how they work, but I understand that they work and it's demonstrable that they do. So the whole magnets, how do they work? It's actually a good question if you want to go deep on that, but to me, they're measurable. They're something that we use in everyday life, and that's enough. I don't know.
We know that they work for sure.
Yeah.
Sort of like, I don't know how my TV works, really, but that's a lot of, I can watch Netflix.
Yeah.
What if maybe it just doesn't work like in the Dark Carnival, like in Shangri-La? The magnets don't work, and so they're coming from Shangri-La, and they're just confused, like, wait, we don't have magnets there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess then, you know, you'd have to account for all the things that would get all fucked up. You'd be like, well, refrigerators don't...
They don't hold
stuff on the front.
Yes, that would be the major loss of the magnetism. Like, people, like, kids' drawings just thrown on the floor.
Yeah, they just pile them up somewhere.
Or they just use cork boards. Like, every refrigerator has a cork board, like, welded to it. Problem solved.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
No need for magnets.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I guess you could just glue, or just glue them on.
Mm-hmm.
Just glue them on top of each other until your fridge becomes giant.
Glue instead.
Every fridge is a giant paper mache fire hazard.
I mean, we are talking about juggalos here. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
How many of them do you, how much refrigeration do they need, really?
I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of juggalos down in Antarctica?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
No, I hope not.
Maybe on the DL?
Yeah, I would hope so.
The juggalo low.
You do bring up a good question with that, though, that there's like kind of a functional workings for how something works, and then there's a more theoretical. But gravity is very similar, that you don't have to understand how gravity works to understand its effects, and magnetism is there's a simpler version for me and other people that don't need to get quite as deep.
Yeah, well, Daniel Dennett wrote a whole book about those kinds of things.
Did he?
Yeah.
About magnets, how do they work?
No, about sort of like we have a folk understanding of something, which is basically all we need. Like if something falls off a table, I don't need to understand gravity to understand that that's going to happen.
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
So forgive me for not knowing a lot about magnets. Physics is not my strong suit at all.
That's okay. Someone should write a science book, though, called Miracles by Insane Clown Posse and just explain all the miracles.
That's a great idea.
Although how you could explain why a pelican stole his phone and flew away.
I think you should have,
I don't know.
You should call it miracles, like with a question mark at the end. Be like, because it's not really miraculous, so it's questioning if they're actually miraculous.
I think that'd be an excellent book, actually. Yeah.
I think so, too. I mean, some of the miracles in the song are a lot less miraculous. Yeah. Like, there's like, oh, well, you can't tell me it's not a miracle that my son kind of looks like me. It's like,
No.
I mean, we got that one pretty locked down, actually.
People figured that out, went out a long time ago.
Yeah.
So every child looking somewhat like their parents is a miracle? Like, that's a lot of miracles. All right. Number four. This is an argument that I've had with Poon Master Flex.
Okay.
So she just got her degree in, you know, the arts of... I don't know, counseling or something like that.
Sure.
And my degree is in library science.
Right.
And therefore, I say, well, one of us got a degree in science and one of us got a fluffy whatever degree.
Liberal arts degree.
Yeah, exactly. So my question is library science a science in your opinion?
No, that's a great... There's a discussion and kind of an ongoing discussion about this that Michael Shermer argues that anything like that, that it would be considered an actual science, that as long as you're approaching it with a scientific method.
Yes.
Your degree of certainty on your conclusions is going to be obviously much less valid than a physicist's. You know,
yeah.
They have more discrete rules in what they're doing.
True.
But, and I tend to agree with Michael Shermer a little bit about that, that I, like, while history is by no means a science that you could approach like biology or chemistry or physics, it still should be approached using scientific method as much as possible. Yeah. And if it's, if granting them the name science to do that, if that helps the field progress in a more evidence-based way, then I'm happy to.
It helps the field get
spread
money.
The love. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and sometimes there's this like elitist, like science is, I mean, physicists would tell you that science is just physics. I mean, not, but there is I've heard arguments even saying biology is kind of a loose science, which there's some truth to that in populations, because populations are difficult to study, they're chaotic systems, but that doesn't mean that it's, you can't study it scientifically. So I would pass that same judgment further down the line. So as excellent. Long as they're approaching it scientifically, you are definitely a library scientist.
Excellent. This not only helps the field, but helps me win arguments in my own mind, because I'm like, well, the scientific community of this house feels this way.
Right.
Let's see, number five. How come in every movie... Oh, no. Okay, I'm just going to read this like it's written by me. Why when every movie is in space does shit get all fucked up?
Shit gets fucked up in space, I think, is part of that.
Yeah. Right.
And everybody loves that story, don't they? What do you think, Ian?
Well, first of all, space has aliens in it, so...
That's true.
That's a big
space is like the epicenter of aliens.
Yeah, like aliens seem to come from space or in space. And so it's a little bit like saying, why does everyone get eaten by tigers or bears when we go and everyone goes into caves or jungles? It's like, well, you're going to where they are. Or it's like that one viral video of like Shark Week of people getting eaten by sharks because you're going into the ocean
yeah,
all the
absolutely.
Time. It's like, you're going to the shark's home. Like,
that's, yeah, true. Course,
that's what's going to happen.
Right.
So it's like you're going into the alien's home. Yeah, things get fucked up.
Things get fucked up.
Also, Sandra Bullock is not a good astronaut, I think.
I don't know if she's that bad one. I think maybe keeping them emotions a little bit reined in would be better for her.
Also, you shouldn't bring a chain gun into space.
Disagree, but
like that seems to be a,
Peter on that one too.
I'm not sure how a chain gun, like, was there a plan in that movie to drill through the asteroid with a chain gun? Like, was that their backup plan?
Well, you just don't know. Just bring everything.
Because it seems kind of like if you're going on a space mission, and this is where we have our science advisor here, one of the big things you have to consider is how much everything weighs.
Absolutely.
Like,
it
you
costs
know,
a lot of money to leave.
It costs a lot of money to leave, and it's like that's more thrust you need, which was more fuel you need, which is more stuff you need. So someone's like, so we're going to bring this chain gun with all the ammunition. It's like, it's going to weigh a ton.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's going to weigh a lot.
That's true.
Okay.
Why are we bringing this?
I can tell you exactly why.
Why?
Because, like, you take off on that mission with, like, 15 dudes,
uh-huh.
but then you cut the weight by being like, well, if we don't have all the stuff to bring all those dudes back, just one plus a chain gun to finish off all the other dudes, then it's fine.
So the pistol by... They also brought, like, a pistol in a little... in that little cubby hole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, you could just
bring... There were a lot of guns in that movie,
yeah, like,
and I wasn't really
a lot
sure.
of guns. Well, it was weird that they had, like...
I feel like people are packing in space.
But they also had, like, a... They had, like, a really... In, like, there's no medium range in that arsenal, either. They had one pistol,
right.
and then they had a chain gun.
Yeah.
Like, this giant, you know, minigun.
Yeah.
Like, this helicopter minigun. There was no, like, rifles. Where you could have, like, a mid-range weapon in between there.
You think something.
Yeah, like something.
Pretty much guns
middle.
In space, while a good idea, probably really a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, this is what I think NASA needs to do. I have this whole comprehensive plan for getting NASA back on its feet. And one of the things I think they need to do is start doing crazier shit in space. Like, I
they're
think
getting,
they need to do it.
They're warmed up.
Yeah.
I will say.
They're
and
starting.
Their budget just got a big shot in the arm, actually. So
excellent.
You might be... They want to go to Mars. I mean, there's a lot in the works with NASA, I think, that's pretty freaking sweet.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And did you see New Horizon? I think it was New Horizon that got the photos of Pluto, which were mm-hmm. unreal.
Yeah.
They're on their way to crazy. I'm impressed with NASA lately.
Oh, and do you think they'll put Neil deGrasse Tyson on the Voyager, like Poon Master Flex believed for a second?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't think he wants to be on a spaceship, really. Well, I heard him talk to Bill Nye about it, and they were both of the opinion of, like, well, when it's safe, and also, you know, going, if we were going to Mars, I don't want to go to Mars until there's a good way to come back.
Right.
I think there's probably, like, a lot of, like, you know, sort of early natural scientists, like, you know, biologists and things like that, where it's the, would you like to go out in the frontier and discover all those animals? They go, no.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I'm not coming back from that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there was a fine group of people that... We're totally happy not coming back from it. And
they're like, I owe a lot of debts.
Yeah.
I did.
And I'm hooked
oh
on opium, so I need to just get out of here.
Well, you guys,
town, man.
You guys heard of that Mars One project, right?
Yeah,
where that's basically
yeah.
the idea is to colonize Mars, but
yeah.
they're not coming back.
Yeah.
And like, I filled out the initial application because I was like, I want to see what this is all about. And then you were supposed to make a video to say why it should be you. And then I watched the other videos and I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
I can't handle any of it. It was like either complete weirdos who were like, oh, you were like the head of a drama club somewhere that was like really obnoxious, or it was like an old man who was just had no life.
Yeah, just didn't care anymore.
Yeah, there was this guy on there who's like, I'm 65, nobody loves me, I have no job, and you're just like, okay, well, you're just doing really slow suicide.
Yeah, so, yeah, seriously.
First of all, are you going to survive the trip there?
Yeah,
I know. Like, look, I could just stab you on the ground for a lot cheaper. That would save us a lot of time and energy.
It'll
I like
save the videos a seat like on the astronaut on the plane on the ship.
I'm a massive liability. Would you like to send me to Mars?
I know. I have nothing to live for. I'm the perfect candidate for this.
So that's the ship that would definitely need a chain gun and put him right next to it.
There you go.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, number six.
Number six.
Is Antarctica cold as fuck?
Is that the whole question? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It's actually, is it cold, question mark, as fuck?
Okay.
So it's like a two-part question.
I've been to two parts of Antarctica.
Two-part question.
One, McMurdo field camp near McMurdo Station, which is south New Zealand, and it's much further south, and it can be very, very cold. The kind of ambient temperatures, negative 20 or so.
Jesus negative 30. Christ.
But then with wind chill, we definitely had days, negative 60, negative 70 is not impossible. And we had, I think when I was there, I think we had maybe three or four negative 100 wind chill days. So it gets pretty damn cold there.
Can you even go outside when it's like that? Or is it just you stay inside?
For the most negative, it depends on what you get into. Below negative 100 is not really great for being outside. Machines don't work as well. And there's a lot. But that's wind chill. At pole, they get actual ambient temperatures that are down that cold. And that, I think they struggle getting machines to work below that very well. But I mean, they work, but
I can see that
there's added,
it's like our garage
problems.
Door.
Yeah.
It'll go up like 8 inches when it's really cold, except if I get out and give it a little boost while it's going up, then it seems to work, which I feel like is breaking the garage door.
Right.
So basically you feel like if you could just give all the machines a little boost, you could get your garage door to work at the South Pole.
Yeah. I think I could get a garage door running in Antarctica temporarily.
Yeah.
until it broke, and then I was like, God damn it.
I mean, you do need a place to park your chain gun when you're not using it.
Just to lift it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want it to be
locked. You gotta protect that chain gun.
Yeah. That would be great. I come down there with nothing but a chain gun. I'm like, well, this is all the weight they let me bring.
A chain gun and an ammo. It's like, this was my maximum weight allowance. I brought no food. On the other hand, give me your food.
Yeah.
You don't need anything if you bring a chain gun.
Survival equipment. So it's colder. It's much drier on that side of the continent, though. So I've also worked in the peninsula, which is much warmer. It's like 0 to 30-ish. Sometimes
nice.
Even a little bit above freezing. But we operate off of boats, and it rains. And
that sounds
and
horrible.
And it's actually, so McMurdo's side is more, it's like a desert. It's really dry, and with good gear, it's pretty easy to stay warm. It's a lot easier to get cold on the Palmer side on the peninsula.
When you get wet.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I could see that.
But yes, cold as fuck. It can be for sure.
Is there a way it could be like cold as fuck, but not cold?
I don't know what that means. Is that a philosophy question?
That was because you made it a two-part question. Like, is it cold and then cold as fuck? Where you can be like, no to the first part, but then yes to the second part.
Into an existential spiral.
Yeah, like maybe if it's like 30 degrees, I would say that's cold, but not cold as fuck.
Yeah, totally. No, but it could be cold as fuck, but then not cold.
Oh.
Does that mean it's like negative 20, it's cold as fuck, but you're nicely dressed, and you're just kind of cold. You're not really cold.
Or like it's so cold that you just went outside and like, flash freeze and then die, and it's and like, well, it's not really cold, it's just
cold,
murderous.
You're like, you're in the vacuum of space, and it's like, well, you kind of, I mean, we describe it as freezing, but it's not really because it's cold.
Yeah, that's like every space movie, man. Someone gets sucked out, and then their corpse just turns to ice and shatters against something, and you're like, good God, that guy is so fucking dead.
That's just...
No coming back from that now.
No, because you're like, maybe he's okay. It's like the end of Demolition Man, when Wesley Snipes gets his head kicked off. Well, he gets frozen, his head gets kicked off, and then it smashes on the ground, and you're like, all right, he's super dead.
Over. It's like someone's rushing down to the airlock with the AED machine, and they're like, nah, just take a walk.
Can we throw him in the back of the tank? No.
Do you think Wolverine can recover from something like that? I've always wondered what he can take before
like
he
being
finally
out in
is.
Space?
There's a whole...
And shattering, not just being... I think he could deal with being out in space.
There's a comic panel of him like being totally burned. Like everything is burned, and he's like regenerating from his eyeball.
Well, yeah.
Just completely regenerating.
So does he have to have like one full organ?
Yeah, or like a cell?
An eyeball? Yeah, will a cell do it?
Apparently a cell, like, you can regenerate from, like, really, really small parts, where he can just, like, some of the stuff had, like, everything was burned except for a couple of, like, ashes. Like, sometimes he has, like, coming from ashes, and you're like, okay, that's not really a cell anymore.
Why isn't he earthworming this shit, then? Why aren't there, like, multiples? Why isn't he budding into multiple
that's
Wolverines?
That's true. How did they know which Wolverine?
What is the real?
Fucking Wolverine. How does that work?
Well, Peter was a big fan of Lobo comics where that came up.
Oh, yeah.
That was a different one. Yeah, so that one, he would get like, when he got chopped up and then his corpse, no, he died and his corpse was eaten by a bunch of snails and then they all shit out the remains and then those all came in to be clones. So then one of them had to kill all the clones, you know, to
reign
supreme.
Oh, sure.
There
had to be one true Lobo.
Yeah.
Because
that won't do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he could survive some space time.
Yeah.
Head kicked off and shattered. I don't know. I guess so.
The shattered thing is what it seems difficult.
But like, if there's a lot of radiation in space, which for a science advisor, there's a lot of radiation in space, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Couldn't that mutate him further and maybe unmutate his healing factor or give him like space cancer?
Space cancer. That's the worst cancer.
Yes. There's no known cure.
No known cure for space cancer.
So, well, there's it. Like,
there's
mean,
no space
your head
chemo.
Shattered. going back to Armageddon yet again, there's space dementia, which is somehow worse than regular dementia. So I assume space cancer is like worse than regular cancer.
That's one of the best parts of that movie when the guy's just like, oh no, he's got space dementia. And no one's like, wait, what?
You're an oil field worker. How do you know? Also, not a psychologist or psychiatrist. Yeah.
Nor is that a term I've ever heard.
He just like looked at me like, he's got space dementia. And they're like, oh yeah, he's right.
Isn't dementia where like a grandma forgets where she lives and she's like walking around a neighborhood? Like that didn't seem to be what was going on.
Like
with
Tony
him
Soprano's
at all.
Grandma who just forgets everything that's happening.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, and
backs
he's just
over
like,
people.
Wait, where am I? And he thinks his wife who died 10 years ago is still alive. None of that happened. He was just shooting a gun into space.
That comes back to guns in space.
Let's see. Question 7. Have you peed outside in Antarctica?
Oh yeah, every day.
How is that horrible? How does it work? Is there a special like valve in pants?
No, so I was concerned about this question before I got. But even in when it's really really cold, obviously back to the wind, I wouldn't want to face it.
Oh, sure.
But because the wind is really the thing that gets you. That really.
Well, also if you face
problems.
Another wind while you're peeing, you'll pee on yourself.
There is that issue.
I mean, that seems to be the easy problem.
So the downside is you don't get to pee on yourself. But
right.
Damn it.
Yeah, it's. I was worried, but I didn't have any problems.
It was fine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's refreshing.
Okay, next question. Very related.
Wait,
how about taking
question.
A dump?
I had a follow-up question to the peeing.
Oh.
So if you're peeing, right, I am kind of imagined that what you would want to have is, like, you know those little packets that you put in your ski boots that are supposed to keep yourself warm?
Yeah, hand warmers, sure.
Yeah, like the hand warmers. Can you, like, sort of cup one underneath your balls?
I think you definitely could. There's warnings about putting those on your skin, though.
I mean, I feel like there's a warning about putting those on your skin, but I've ignored those warnings.
Within reason.
Of time.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
But on, like, your balls?
Well, I feel like if I'm in Antarctica and I'm like, this might be the thing that saves my balls from being frozen off. I mean, like, this could work.
It's kind of like a question, though, of, like, would you rather die of being frozen or burned? Like, I think I'd rather my balls just froze off than I burn them off.
You could do
with a thing.
That's what I was hoping, is they would balance out so I wouldn't lose my balls in either case.
Maybe.
You're trying to maintain balls at any cost.
I'm trying to maintain balls here, yeah.
You could keep the balls inside your
That's probably.
Pants,
what kind of animal am I?
Unless your pee's draining from your balls.
Yours doesn't.
I
have another follow-up science question.
Okay, let's see. This is another shit question. Do you think it's likely that Dog the Bounty Hunter takes the hugest shits ever? Something about that guy just makes me feel like he takes really huge
dumps.
This
is also a good expertise for Darren because he did live in Hawaii briefly
as
well.
Yeah.
Different island than where Dog works.
He lives in Hawaii. I've worked.
Oh, that's why he looks so burned.
Yeah.
I've spent a little, so he does work on the Big Island some, actually, and Oahu. I imagine his shits have got to be enormous, you know?
Right?
Yeah, I mean.
Like, very wide.
Right.
I imagine they're kind of orange-colored, too. Like, if you eat too many Flaming Hot Cheetos. Like, kind of orange or red.
Well, I imagine
colors.
His diet is
oily.
Not,
yeah.
Call me crazy. I think his diet maybe could be. Who knows? Maybe he's like a vegan and goes jogging every morning, but I just don't see it.
Seems unlikely, right?
Yeah.
Seems more like he's eating.
I think he's eating Loco Mocos and.
Yeah. I bet he's very familiar with the 7-Eleven things on the rollers.
Not even the hot dog, but like whatever the weird.
With melted cheese inside of it.
Yeah, like the little chunks of pepper.
The taquito things.
The taquitos. That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah. Let's see. Number 10. Have you ever tried Adderall, and do you think this would be a good thing for me to have? Recently, well, I'll give some background. You don't have to answer the first part of that question, but the second part, because recently, Poonmaster Flex, though not a scientist, has diagnosed me with possible attention deficit disorder.
Uh-huh.
Not as just a mean joke.
Yeah,
maybe 10% is a mean joke.
Uh-huh.
But because I took this quiz online about, like, it was like, are you late for everything? you know, you might be surprised why. And then it was like, do you have these other things that happen? And I was like, yes, to all. Huh. And then it was like, you might have attention deficit disorder. You should consider therapy. And I was like, I'm not doing that, but I would try Adderall.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be worth it to just try?
I think, so I was, I've never been around people that use Adderall recreationally for fun.
Right.
In college, I think everybody knew people and
Who did
was
it to
a
like
person who did
all night or study.
Yeah,
or
just finals time.
It's the way like some people will drink Red Bulls, whereas you don't do that every day, but you do that to get through a long cram session or you have, you know you have a long day ahead of you. So,
and I mean, Ian might be a good person to talk about this. You actually work in academia. What do you feel about people using
drugging,
performance enhancing drugs,
doping?
I think like any student I've encountered who's like, oh, I have Adderall to stay up all night, I'm like, well, part of that is you haven't been studying all semester.
Sure.
It's you're trying to catch up all at once. Like, it's the little bit of
futile, you know, anyways.
Yeah, you're trying to do that. I mean, with something like Adderall, just because I've watched Requiem for a Dream way too many times, I'm always like, oh, that's probably not good for you, especially not good for your teeth. Because you're going to grind your teeth a lot.
See, go ahead.
My understanding, though, is if you do have, like, ADD, it doesn't, speed for you. And it's, like, levels you out more.
I've only been around one person that was actually diagnosed it for ADHD, and it did help that person, I would say, so. I don't know. I guess with you, either it helps you for your ADHD or you have a good night and get your house nice and clean, so you can
give it
a one off and see if it's any good.
This is a good idea. I'll set up a project for myself.
Not that I
encourage
you. And see what happens. Well, no, I think it's a good... This seems like, to me, it seems like a lot of time savings.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for example, I was looking at, like, you know, I definitely have some sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, was like, I should get one of these fucking machines or something. But then in order to get it paid for by insurance, you have to, like, go do a sleep study and all this stuff. And I was like, couldn't we just get the machine and see what happens? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's not going to hurt me to
like,
use the machine.
Like,
kind of
see if it works out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, if I just took it once, I'm sure I'd be fine.
Yeah.
And then... see what happens. Yeah. And then I would know.
So you're talking about getting them black market or going into the doctor and ask and trying to, because a physician might check you out and say, oh yeah, it's worth trying. Let's give it a shot. But
this is what I need. I need someone, anyone within the sound of this recording who has a doctor in Colorado who is like quick to pull the trigger on this sort of thing.
I think there's quite a few that are.
Yeah, there has to be, right?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few.
I need a doctor who, because I'm, you know, 32, I think, and like, I don't really do drugs. I'm not like a big fan of like even, you know, weed and stuff like that. And like the times I've had painkillers, they haven't really done a lot for me. But I would like to, you know, have a green light to try some shit.
Right.
Because I'm like, I feel like I could be wasting my life.
So if angel dust was the cure for your ADHD, you showed up on time for everything because you just ran everywhere.
Yeah. I'm on PCP. I'm not late anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not late anymore because I don't stop to go to the bathroom. I just poop while I'm running.
Yeah, I did strangle a dog on the way. But other than that, I'm fine.
I strangled a swift cat and drank its power.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Number 12, I assume the techno part of technodrome means technology, but what the fuck is a drome? Is that a thing? A drome? Or did they make that up?
Sounds made it. I don't know what a drome is, to be honest with you.
I mean, I know what a dome is.
I know what a dome
is.
I was going to say, I could go dome.
A technodrome.
And it's like a rolling...
A roomy dome?
Drome, yeah.
It's kind of like a room dome. Like, if you have a fully domed room, it's a drome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like the craziest... shape of a thing to have as your like layer is a huge sphere on tank treads.
Yeah,
like that seems just full of problems.
It does. It does.
You also put it in as an underground layer and an island.
Yeah, I like how they're like, we have this thing. Also, it needs to be in an underground cave
in New York.
What the fuck did they even get it?
Under one of the most populated places in the United States, also surrounded by water.
Not once did a sewer guy be like, we got some kind of drome down
here.
We
got a drome situation.
Or like someone's like, there's a giant tunnel in here.
Yeah. Let's see where this goes. I was watching so there's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live action Christmas special from the 90s. Mm-hmm. And basically it was them singing a bunch of songs about going to buy Splinter a present, you know, and it was like, up through the sewers and to the streets, da-da-da-da-da-da. And they were like walking through the sewer. And I was just like, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, when I was a kid, really made me think that the sewer was just full of all these tunnels that had no purpose. They're just like empty, fairly clean tunnels, right. Which I'm like, yeah. That cannot very possibly hospital. Be yeah. true, right?
Like everything, and also like everything was walkable. Like you could walk through yeah, large yeah. parts of the sewer, where most of the time with sewer, you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very small pipes.
Yeah, you could just walk around, you know, and get out. And
I don't know. I think there is some of the sewers in New York, I think, do have big areas in them.
They must,
for
right?
To, yeah, for yeah. workers to access. But
like access tunnels and things yeah. like that. But
I just feel like they must be full of like rats yeah. and sewage.
Right. The whole sewage part is what.
Yeah. Kind of that's the real. You want to get on the side where the water's going to places,
yeah.
not coming back.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe storm drains aren't quite as bad, but...
Yeah, something.
My goodness.
Where else would they live? I guess they could live in the subway tunnels. That seemed to make more
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, they should have like done
abandoned
that.
Subway tunnel.
Yeah, because there's got to be abandoned subway tunnel somewhere that they're like, oh, and they just forgot.
Isn't mm-hmm. there parts of New York that's even buried under New York that you can just...
Eh, I think so.
Which is bizarre to me that there's just cities buried under other cities.
Yeah, that they're just accessible. Like, oh, screw it.
Yeah, whatever, we'll just put some dirt on that.
No one cares about that stuff.
Like, just stack it on top.
Yeah, it's right. fine. Yeah, that first movie, it's just like, he gets a pizza, and he's just like, go ahead and just insert that pizza into the sewer. And you're like, I don't know. You could have just met him in the alley, probably.
Well, I mean, if you're a pizza guy and it says insert the pizza in the sewer and you see the cash up there, it's like, whatever.
Who cares?
Can't yeah, be the weirdest
I mean,
thing.
I would do yeah, that. You know? I would have no problem doing that. I just don't want to eat the pizza. If I was one of the other turtles, I'd be like, did you go out and get it, or did you have him inserted in the sewer?
You get lazy again, Raphael?
The 90s yeah. New York City sewer.
Yeah. You push always the dead hooker out of the way to drop the
yeah.
pizza.
Yeah.
Just covered in needles. Number 13. Is climate change a threat?
Yes, absolutely.
To our way of life?
Yes, it is.
All right. That was a real science question.
Yeah. No, I think there's a problem with the way that the discussion is being had, that it's turning into a science versus politics, which they're completely separate. So, but yes, I'm yet to see evidence supporting any other hypothesis.
So if you're saying that science is going to force me to give up my Hummer, that I have a convection oven in the back, and I just drive around like heating up toast...
And your whole my house whole, is gas powered.
I'm my saying science house. Won't tell you that. Politicians can tell you whatever they want. Science my will whole, not tell you what
I,
you should
I
do.
I put a, like an extra smokestack on my house. Like my house is entirely fueled by coal. Just,
I was going to say directly an extra smokestack. How many yeah, smokestacks do you have now?
I took down the solar panels from my neighbor's house and put like a whole bunch of coal-fired plants on the top of my house.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah. I invented a new kind of energy that burns solar panels.
Exactly. It's my... I'm powered by burning tires and trash bags.
Perfect. Question 14. I have a jury duty coming up.
Oh, boy.
Do you think I'll have to do it?
No.
No? Excellent.
Look at you. No. Maybe.
That's
well, I don't know.
Comforting.
You're kind of... I was kind of called a mystery,
for,
aren't you?
Yeah.
I was called for jury duty over the summer.
And I had you have to go?
No. I had to go into like the preliminary thing. Like the trial's going on right now, so it's easy to talk about. But I was called in one of these pools that had like 200 people selected for it.
Mm.
Because it was a sex abuse trial.
Oh, God.
And so they had to call a whole bunch of jurors. Yeah, yeah. Like it's one of those things where they had to dismiss just a... They had like 200, 250 jurors called. Uh-huh. They had to pick 12.
So if you'd been selected, you'd still be on this jury right now?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The trial would still be going. Because they had said like the trial would... Well, I guess it'd probably be over by now, but they were saying like the trial would go on for a couple months.
Right.
Wow. Mm. Mm. So how did they ask you questions and stuff? Like, how do you feel about sex abuse? Good? Yeah. Bad?
Well, like,
is it a threat to society?
I mean, they asked... Like, there's like a lot of times where like you could tell someone how badly someone wanted to get out of jury duty. Because like at one point they asked the normal questions of like, have you ever been convicted of a felony?
Okay.
You know, is anyone you know a police officer? Is anyone you know or an attorney? Do you know the defendant kind of things?
Mm.
Then like in the sort of second half, they had been like, so do you think a teenager or a child can seduce someone? And, like, there's people who are just raising their hands and be like, yeah, I think a kid could totally seduce someone. And I'm like, you just want to get out of jury
yeah,
duty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I was just, like, thinking about that, how gross that is.
Yeah.
Like, you go into it and a kid is in, like, a robe with a candle.
Oh, my goodness.
Putting on a record. Would you care for some Kool-Aid? No. I don't think they could do it.
Yeah.
You want to play with my twains?
I don't.
Jesus.
If nothing else, I don't think they could do it successfully. Because you'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. What is going on?
What happened to you?
Yeah.
You're being very gross. Yeah.
And to counseling we go.
Yeah, we absolutely do not allow this in this house.
I guess I also remember there's one guy who...
how many times have I had to tell you no seducing?
There's one guy who every time like the judge asked a question, he wanted to talk about how much he hated, because the guy, like the accused person, was a clergyman. And so they had to talk about, like, do you have any biases towards the clergy? And this guy, every question he asked, he was always like how much he hates religion and organized religion and clergy people and just all kinds of stuff. And it was like... Look, can we just let him go?
Yeah,
like,
he obviously is not going to be here later.
The judge is like, okay, we get it. Yeah,
we're all like, wasting our time listening to this guy over and over. Did I mention that I hate the clergy?
Yeah.
So it depends.
I really hate the clergy.
Okay, you kind of have a failsafe on this, though.
I do.
Because if you got picked, you could just anonymously email at least a couple of these shows, and I think you'd be booted off.
Yeah. Like, I mean, just listen to this.
There's specific ones, not all of them.
Everything
right.
You know.
There are specific shows that you could probably just be like,
start with the best of, and then, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anything I particularly don't dislike.
Right.
So if there's any question like that, I'd have to be like, well, yeah, I don't like that.
They do ask, like when I was in, like part of the pool they ask if you have any relatives that are convicted of any crimes.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. And so
I have that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was actually a thing where people went around. Almost everyone who had relatives convicted of crimes got dismissed.
Really?
Too. Yeah. So
oh, nice. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. He gave you something.
Late Christmas present.
Exactly.
Number 15. Are octopus a threat?
Depends on who you are. No.
To me.
To you?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I knew it. I saw...
If you're a Japanese girl... I'm sorry.
And they want to go inside of you?
Yeah.
I mean, reference. That's really like... But it's hard to tell if are those always octopi or if those are squid.
A lot of times... Yeah, I don't know.
It's just all your tentacles.
You know, I think I've seen one image on Reddit of it, and I didn't even catch what it was.
It's hard to tell.
It kind of caught me off guard, to be honest.
Some of them could be like Cthulhu, which is really not a sea creature.
No, no. I would be scared of Cthulhu. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yes, you should be scared of Cthulhu. Yeah. That's a scientific opinion, right?
That's a scientific opinion, yes.
I do feel weird about, because like if you Google, you know, weird octopus video, that's what you end up with is pornographic. But I'm talking about like, you know, there are videos of them walking sort of on land. And there's one where I saw and they trained it to like unlock a padlock with a key.
Sure. No.
And I was just like, that's fucked up. Let's not do that.
They're impressive. Yeah. I mean, and they're definitely blue-ringed octopus are extremely venomous, actually. They're very, very dangerous.
Like
if you were to handle them, they're not going to come after you.
Where do they
live?
You
wouldn't hope.
Yeah. Where do you think?
Australia.
Not here, I hope. Everything fucking poisonous lives in Australia.
Of course,
that's the land of poisoned animals.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything is deadly there.
I have a coworker who lived there for quite a long time. Uh-huh. And she's always telling about, you know, the spiders and the size of them and the poisonous. And I'm just like, why do people...
It's a... Yeah.
It's horrible.
It's a double threat, too, because it's just as bad in the ocean. The ocean and the land are just these terrible...
Yeah.
The ocean around Australia
places.
Is awful, too.
Amazing, I'm sure. Beautiful. But Jesus Christ.
Do you think that, like, from an evolution perspective, like, the super poison... Like, something had to evolve to go down land to escape all the super awful creatures in Australia's ocean, or it was the other way around?
That's a really good question, where that arm brace
started. Like, the sharks are like, God, I gotta get in the ocean.
The
it feels like
fuck out of here.
This is getting hectic.
Yeah.
That, yeah, like the wallaby developed because it was a sea creature, but it was like, this is fucked up, or vice
like,
versa.
I am so screwed.
I gotta get out of here. Yeah.
The manatee was a wallaby or something, and it was just like,
I can't deal with Australia.
Too many things.
Maybe that's how evolution actually worked, is that everything's like, I can't live in Australia anymore. I'm not poisonous enough.
Yeah. It's
seriously.
Well, that's what it did. It just killed off everything that couldn't handle.
I saw my mom be skeletonized by ants. I'm not doing this anymore. It was the most horrible thing I've ever seen.
That'll leave a deep scar, yeah.
Let's see. Question 16. Is there a scientist prank called the Bunsen burner, sort of like an Indian burn or a Hertz donut? Is that a thing that's been invented yet?
I don't think so. Well, I love it.
I think it should be.
Yeah, totally. Except, does it involve lighting somebody on fire with a Bunsen burner?
Yeah, it's just burning someone horribly on the face.
Maiming somebody.
What I kind of imagine is like if you imagine like a high school science lab and someone's trying to be the cool kid or like the cool teacher's trying to sit on the table and you sort of like position the Bunsen burner kind of like right behind them very subtly and then turn it up really high so it flares flares up behind them like a Kiss pyrotechnic thing.
I was picturing, like, you know when people fill a bucket with water and balance it on the door? You do that, but with a Bunsen burner, and it falls Jeez. On them.
So, like, the good outcome for that is it bonks them on the head, and it cuts their head open. Like, well, at least you didn't get burned.
Yeah, it would be sort of like if you imagine Home Alone, but everything is fire.
But it's much worse.
Yeah. Or basically just the Home Alone torches. Trap where it, like, torches him on the head. Yeah.
Yeah, but then, you know, every other thing is fire, too. Like, instead of micro machines, he slips and falls into fire.
Slips and falls on a lot of fire with wheels on it.
Yeah.
A pit of fire.
The micro machines are on fire. Yeah.
So basically your version of Home Alone is, like, you just light the house on fire with the wet bandits inside.
Yeah, I just burned it down with them alive inside.
And watch it in slow motion. It makes an hour and a half movie.
Yeah. They're running around screaming.
Yeah, and it's like and the rest of the thing is just kind of a trial of, like, well, can you convict a kid for burning people alive who are trying to rob his house? I don't know. This is a really weird question. And he has no remorse. 17. Aquariums in the home. Opinion?
It depends. Saltwater aquariums are just difficult. So yeah. On the person side, people get in over their heads with them. But I don't mind. There's certain fish that kind of localize to a small area anyways. And those are great fish to have in aquariums that even in the wild, they're not roaming around a huge deal. They kind of stay in one space. And they seem to do fine in aquariums, and I don't really have a problem with that. Also, I make at least in my head, and I don't mean it in a bad way towards fish, but fish are kind of stupid. I mean, mammals, I feel like, have a lot more.
Sure.
There's more reason to be concerned than fish are.
Fish are like the bugs of the
sea. I don't mean
sea.
That in a negative way, but I don't feel people kill fish all the time. It's
so
in mass, yeah. I mean,
so if I were like a crazy billionaire, trillionaire, right? Uh-huh. And I wanted to make
Anything you say that starts with this premise, yeah.
And I want to make like a seal aquarium.
Sure.
Like, how big would it need to be?
In order to replicate their natural...
Right. And I still need to be able that's to where you see get into, them.
I'm not sure that it's great to keep animals with big ranges in captivity, but there are situations where that's totally a valuable right. thing. Animals that aren't fit to live in the wild or whatever.
So I've got my injured...
It
so
is
like,
kind of, yeah.
I start off with my injured seals. Like, they're not going to survive in the wild anyway.
Right, right. I think that they can survive in a... Not a huge, huge area. Obviously, the more room, the better. The more room right. they have in the water. There's a facility in Hawaii where they keep things kind of short term where the pools are maybe twice the size of this room. So
okay.
Decent sized, but not
20
not
by
huge,
20
huge.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So I could build like a tank around, like, and sort of build my house around the tank.
Sure. If you'd like.
Because I am a crazy trillionaire after all.
Yeah. Yeah. You, that's good. You're going to need to hire somebody to clean up all of the shit.
Also a lawyer, probably.
Lots of attorneys. But could I, like, how big would I, could I make a tube or like some kind of habit trail for it so it could like swim around my house?
Now, I like that idea. That sounds fantastic.
Like, yeah,
like a
mean,
hamster tube, but
yeah,
for
exactly.
a seal.
See,
yeah,
with your unlimited resources, I think you could totally pull this off.
I mean,
honestly.
But the other question I have is if I built this, would the seal actually go through this little tube?
Oh, like, I think so. Yeah.
So it would like go through the tube all the time?
I would think so. Yeah. Seals are really.
Like tubes?
A lot of seals are curious. Yeah, the seals love tubes.
Okay.
Nothing a seal likes more than a good tube.
And so would these seals be a threat to, like, when I have fancy parties and I have, like, the women in the mermaid outfits?
Oh,
can I
yeah.
drop them in the same equipment or, like, or the same aquarium? Or do I have to have, like, a separate aquarium?
I mean, depends on the type of seal. You could probably get away with it, but...
Like, the seal's not going to bite my mermaid.
Well, it might. I don't recommend being in the water with seals in general because they own it. They're so... You might win on land, but they're going to dominate you in the water, so... I don't know.
But this is a mermaid.
It is a mermaid. Yeah, she's at home in the water as well. Yeah.
You're saying she's a real mermaid.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm a
my question then is
why do
you
want
you
a,
have
seal?
A seal? Yeah. You've got the mermaid. That's the showpiece, yeah, obviously.
I don't have to pay them. You know, I don't have to pay the seal anything. The seal's like a pet. Mermaid might be enough of a human.
She's an employee.
The Emancipation Proclamation might apply to mermaids. Sure. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer.
I don't. <Okay.
laughs> This is something I've wanted
think,
to...
That's a science question. Do you think a mermaid is human enough where, like, the Emancipation
it deserves
Proclamation...
Rights?
Yeah. Because half human, right?
It appears to be, yeah.
Like, chimpanzees are more than half human, but fuck their rights.
That's a very good point, too, though. So, I guess probably legally, fuck them. I don't think they could get any rights. Chimpanzees are pretty close. We're not giving them anything.
Yeah. Mm. I feel like maybe the breaking point is when they're... human enough to ask for rights.
Yeah, that's
or to
a good
want
one,
them.
Yeah.
So basically when they're human enough to hire an attorney.
Yeah, or to be like, hey, how come I got to live in this thing and you don't? Yeah, mer-turney man.
Mer-turney. A murrier?
I don't even know.
So if there's a, that means if there was a chimp that could hire a chimp attorney.
Yes, or
do you have to hire a human attorney
lawyer.
Initially?
That'd be fine.
Aqua lawyer.
Aqua lawyer, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the name of it, aqua lawyer.
Yeah.
Aqua lawyer, attorney of the seas.
I like it.
Yeah.
I have always, we've actually been talking pretty seriously, me and Poon Master Flex, because I'm allergic to this cat, right?
Yeah.
So we've been talking about, like, how
putting it in
what
a tube,
would be perfect.
Shooting it around your house? Like
well,
seals?
I wouldn't say shooting it around the house.
Oh.
But we were talking about how great it would be if we owned, like, adjacent apartments or condos or something, because then she could have her crazy cat lady house, and then I could have my normal person house, and we could coexist that way. And then I was like, you know what would be really good is to have, like, a tube that runs through my house so the cat could still sort of visit but not get hair and stuff everywhere.
See, that went the total opposite direction of what I thought it was going to be. I thought you were going to say a tube for you to go back and forth but to isolate
the
cat.
Oh, that would work too. Like a, yeah, a, I could come crawling in like a, like well, a, they do already
I just
have
thought you
those
wanted to
tubes.
Get in on the tube. Yeah.
Like, a, like it's like a play place or something, a McDonald's yeah. play place.
Yeah, I wait till they're tearing down a Chuck E. Cheese.
House. Yeah.
Yeah. Cat in the ball pit would be good.
That would be good.
This is a thing I have to remember to Google later.
So, a cat in a ball pit.
Google
Do you think
videos.
A seal would get out of a ball pit faster than a cat?
Oh, I don't think. Ah, maybe. I've never seen. I don't know how a seal might be either very good in a ball pit, like very excellent, or very bad.
I suppose it depends on how big the balls were. Because like if the balls were really, really tiny, it might be like sand.
Yeah.
And I don't know how well a seal would do on sand, but I'm guessing not good.
They're not, I mean, they can move, but it's not pretty.
I have learned that cats are really good at, like, if they don't want to be in an environment, they're really good at not being in it.
Yeah, sure.
Like, if it's going to take 5 seconds to get out of something, they'll get out of it with gusto.
Yep.
Question 18. What is the paleo diet?
Besides nonsense?
Yeah. I suspected that it might be nonsense, but, like, what the fuck?
I think it's eating things that are, and maybe I shouldn't say nonsense. It seems to be nonsense.
Oh, but, it's not. I'll say it. It's fucking nonsense.
Yeah, eating things that were the Paleolithic human ate. But I think that's, I mean, literally almost everybody died back then. I don't know if I want to really like go for
young,
anything about
right?
it. From like, I wish it was more like when we were cavemen and everybody died from their teeth and or starvation or whatever got you for a disease. You know, I don't know.
I mean, sure. People ate stuff they found on the ground. Like, that was a good day.
Hunter-gatherer,
Yeah, like, it doesn't seem like they knew what the fuck they were doing.
Well, and this is the thing about the paleo diet, too. It's people that live in, like, and excuse me, but affluent communities that are paying for this thing. And it's like, if you want to do paleo, a big part of that was actually go hunt your food, go find all of your vegetables, and you're probably going to be in great shape. I totally agree, but
it's a lot of work.
Just eating all eating all the spoils and doing none of the work probably isn't like exactly what the paleo
is. Because you have to burn 800 calories to find 200 calories.
Yeah, absolutely.
Paleo diet is really like a slow death. It's not really living. It's sort of slowly dying.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to bullshit on that one, though.
Aren't we all slowly dying, though? Really?
No.
Oh. I am. Not slowly.
Ian is Benjamin Button.
I would like to go with quickly dying, so.
18 or
Where's
19.
My booze?
Why is yogurt so popular yet so gross?
That's a good question.
Do you find yogurt gross?
Not the taste, the idea kind of. But,
yeah.
The taste is all right.
It's kind of a goo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of goo foods.
And taking things that come out of an animal and then doing weird. It is. It's delicious, though. I don't know. I'll eat gross things if I must.
I don't taste. I don't eat much yogurt because it reminds me way too much of semen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it's just like
probiotic semen,
like cold semen. And I'm like, if I'm gonna have this, I'm gonna go with warm semen.
I was gonna say you're gonna stick it in the microwave for a minute.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem.
I gotta nuke it, but cold. I'm pretty sure like you can't nuke yogurt, and that's probably not good for you.
I don't know.
Do you?
Well, people cook with it.
Yeah, yes, so I guess. But
do you think there's a market for semen flavored foods? As like a dare.
Fine question.
Like a candy at a bachelorette party.
I mean, there's like the Harry Potter things that are supposed to taste like blood or like dirt, like the Harry Potter jelly beans or something.
I don't think there's a blood one, but go on.
There's one that's supposed to taste like dirt. or something yes. like that.
There is a vomit one.
I think yeah.
a booger one too.
Yeah. yeah.
And so I imagine there's got to be like someone in the flavor factory made the semen one. So the recipe's there.
That's
there's
true.
A jelly belly.
It's out there.
There's a science jelly belly. Like in the like the formula's there in the test tube, and it's kind of like in a vault.
There's a glass case yeah. where there's one jelly bean.
It's just an like semen flavored. This. It's like passed down to the like the president and the head scientist. This is the jizzy bean.
Yeah, don't you think it would be really fun if you worked at that factory and you made that jelly bean and we're like, we made one, we're gonna just put it in one package, I'm not gonna say anything,
we made the jizzy bean.
Yeah, and no one would know.
No, they'd be like, huh,
someone might taste it and be like, boy, that sure didn't taste like anything right. that I thought a jelly bean would taste like.
They would never be able to tell anybody, be like, did you get the one that tasted like semen?
Wait, what?
Wait, what?
Oh, God. Okay.
Janice from accounting is looking through all the jelly beans for the jizz-flavored one.
Oh. I mean, I would eat a jizz-flavored jelly bean. I would.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would try it.
Yeah.
It's not like, I mean, I guess there's always the option to taste it, but like,
yeah,
but I'd rather do the jelly bean.
Right.
Like, if someone could taste it who could tell me if it was accurate.
Yeah.
And then I could try it and be like,
Like, so you're like, taste this, Poon Master Flex.
It might give people more respect for deliverers of blowjobs as well.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you're like, wow, this is fucking gross.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
for you.
Seriously, you've earned... I'm going to buy you a...
Yeah, I'm you, really happy.
I wonder if it captures the texture, too. Like, the way that buttered popcorn jelly bean kind of does Jesus. The texture of that. Like, but it somehow, like, it captures the texture of it.
If you get it wet, it's insanely sticky.
Yeah.
And after, yeah, and you have to eat it fast, otherwise it dries out.
If you spit it into a Kleenex, that Kleenex is done.
Oh, Jesus. Just turns into a crust. 20. At what point should a genital issue sufferer pull the trigger and see a doctor?
I would think pretty quick. Is I'm not a physician, but that would be my non-doctory. Why?
I guess like
no. Not right now.
You can take two birds, one stone. Get your Adderall and
Well, that's true. I mean, I think there's been some previous episodes where Peter has talked about like having significant ball pain and ball injuries.
Oh, I remember that.
And, like,
yeah.
Not
yeah.
going to the doctor for quite a while. Right. So are you thinking like external things, like if it's got red sores and pus, or if it's like just pain?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking either, you know, I guess more pain okay. because if it was like a, you know, weeping sore, I'd be like, oh, okay, that well, this probably, is clearly a problem.
Right.
But, like, when it's just pain, you're like, I don't know, this might just go away.
You might have space herpes if you went to space.
Yeah. I would say, in my case, it did not Oprah. Just go yeah. away at all.
Yeah, that's true. You could get them from Oprah in space.
That's true. She's probably got a lot
she's
of stuff.
She's got the syphilis.
Yeah, she's got all kinds
I'm
of stuff.
She's going to get sued for defamation now. Oprah yeah. does not have syphilis. Take that back.
She could. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
But Space Oprah could have space syphilis.
Does she have, like, a man friend at all?
Stedman?
Is that still
I think so.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't follow Oprah. I follow Oprah in space more than Oprah, actually.
Yeah.
Me too. I just saw, like, a video of her, and I didn't know what it was, but it appeared to be, like, her journey to fitness or to semi-fitness. I don't know.
Didn't she run a marathon?
She did.
Did you?
Oh.
That looked like with the footage, it was, like, she was fat, and then she was not as fat, and then there was, like... But then there was her, like, running in slow-mo when she was really fat, and it was like, what are
hypnotic,
we watching
like
right
plane.
Now? Yeah, like, why did you take this footage of yourself?
I have high speed for this.
Like, I would say, like, I'm not a fat person, but also I would not want to watch myself in slow motion running on a treadmill, because that would just
no.
look weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anyone looks good in that
yeah.
context.
No. Runners don't typically look great doing what they do.
No. no.
It's
not sexy.
No, it's horrible.
I want to watch beach volleyball in slow motion, not...
yeah, not a marathoner.
Not a marathoner, no.
Let's see. 21, do you own a lab coat?
No, I don't own them. They're always provided by work.
Oh, so you just, like, pick one up from a stack?
Yeah.
Put it on?
When I work
and then
labs, yeah.
throw it away? Or launder it?
Yeah, yeah, I'd launder it.
I imagine...
A lot of times I don't need... A lot of the stuff I've done in labs has been with fish that we weren't using... We didn't need lab coat for some of it, but they are good. Handy places to keep pencils.
They do have good cut pockets.
Yeah.
It seems like kind of the science robe.
It is kind of the science robe.
It's like, it's got pockets, it's a little more official, but at the same time...
It screams, respect me without knowing me.
Yeah. throw a sash on it. That's a fucking robe.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it like, is there a thing like with chefs where you could tell like who's the head chef because they'll have an apron on, but it's totally clean? Where the guy's actually working in the kitchen is totally dirty. So like if you're a scientist, if you have a clean thing, people are like, well, he's either in charge or he's not a real scientist.
Actually, it's a little different. I'd say all the labs, most of the labs I've been in at least, it's pretty obvious who the head of the lab is by the way they act and less by how they're No, I mean, they, not in a bad way, just...
They're sitting around checking their phone while everyone else is working?
Yeah, are just... people that run labs are very peculiar about how things are done typically, which is for very good reason. But I guess it's usually pretty clear who's in charge.
Well, I've heard with some academic labs, you could tell who's in charge because if someone is there, they're not in charge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Sure.
Okay. That makes sense.
Especially in the actual lab itself.
Right. Like if they're
in
not,
an office.
Yeah.
Which is what techs are for. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Secondary lab coat question.
Yeah.
Does anyone have, quote, fun lab coats, like with Garfield and shit on them? Is that a thing? Is there a market for that?
I see a little tiny bit of that, but very little. Obviously, you've had me as a guest. Scientists kind of be a little boring sometimes. Not in a bad way. I've seen it a little bit, but not too much.
Because I feel it's not like scrubs.
Like nurses.
Yeah, they're like all over the place.
Yeah, they do.
They're like, well, what is this, SpongeBob? Great. And I'm like, I mean...
You can get scrubs.
See,
the show.
I imagine that like in an Arctic research or Antarctic research station, like if there was the one Garfield scrub, that would be the thing that people would kill each other over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like there would be just murder that would take place over... the one Garfield scrub, so like you make
nice
it all
one.
The same, so that way you don't have like a fight over it.
Yeah, oh, I see. So just to keep people, it's like how
just
if you have kids, you get
down.
Them the same present because you're like, fuck that shit.
Just because I imagine if you're isolated in a small station with people for a long time, you every like lots of things are done to prevent mutinies. Because like I remember,
morale is a huge thing. You really got people. Great steps are taken to try to keep morale up on. Isolated stations.
I went to the biosphere in Tucson.
Uh-huh.
Like, or it's not really a biosphere anymore because they opened it up to the outside world, obviously.
Can we call it a biodrome?
It's a biodrome, yes.
Thank you.
It doesn't roll around like the technodrome, but...
just a biodrome.
But they had a huge controversy because they couldn't grow enough food to survive.
Right.
And so they had to say, like, could we let in food from the outside?
Mm.
And, like, factions split.
Really?
And people were... Like after decades after like the biodome was opened and everyone had left, people were still mad at each other over it.
Whether or not they could wait, what was the other suggestion that they die?
They just kind of work harder at growing food.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know.
And so I imagine like something like in a biodome where you're locked in, everything is about kind of keeping morale up. And I imagine like in an Antarctic station, there's a whole bunch of stuff. And so if you introduced one set of Garfield pajamas, that would be like one person's morale is boosted for a day. Like one the Garfield lab coat helps for one person for one day and then everyone else is pissed.
Yeah. That's definitely I feel like sociologists or psychologists should definitely take a look at some of those stations. There's some interesting things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
People personalities come out
maybe
in good and bad ways. Really, most of the people who worked on there are excellent, really really cool people.
They should just make a reality show and skip this sort of actual study. What makes all the money? Reality
that's
television
true actually
is cheap to
we're
make
funding Antarctic science with reality TV.
Do you have to take like a personality test before you go down there? Are they like are you crazy
for if you overwinter at South Pole? You have to have a psychological exam. I did not because I do summer stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, overwinters have a little bit more stringent physical qualification process.
So they don't
which makes sense.
They don't take the suicidal people who made a YouTube video and say like, I'm 65.
I'm an old man, I have nothing to live for.
I've got kind of a drinking
a little bit of a drinking problem.
I would say I have drinking concerns more than a drinking problem. He's sitting there trying to minimize his drinking as much as possible.
I don't like to call it a challenge or a problem. I call it a challenge, a drinking challenge.
Yeah.
Every day I have drinking challenges in front of me.
Let's see.
But I will overcome.
Question 23. We're almost there. Smoking. Is it time that we reconsidered the benefits?
I'm gonna have to go no on that one. Ian,
I was just reading something today like that vaping is actually causing different kinds of lung problems, like a popcorn lung.
Popcorn lung.
Mm-hmm.
It was with like very specific chemicals in certain it wasn't even in all of it was in like certain flavors
Flavors or kinds or something. Yeah. So like there's some irreversible lung condition. Because like what I've
popcorn
seen,
and lung, that just sounds awful.
That sounds gross.
Those do not go together.
It's the worst jelly
bean
ever.
I don't like when they put a Popcorn lung flavored.
Popcorn lung flavored.
Oh.
Tastes like tuberculosis.
Oof. Yeah, they should make some other weird flavors, though, like cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Ashtray,
and then you could see,
Bar rag.
Yeah. Or like, you know, strep throat. And you'd be like, I think I have strep throat right now.
Dimetap.
Do you know what I just heard? This is some crazy shit. And I don't know. This is totally unfounded. I have not researched it.
Uh-huh.
I heard that at one time, grape soda was like by far the most popular soda in America. And then what happened is it was so popular, all the medical people took that flavor to put into their medicine. And so then people started associating grape soda flavor with medicine. And then Coca-Cola swooped in and took over.
That sounds like some kind of internet fan theory.
I know.
Or like, you know, what's like Ron Weasley is really Dumbledore or something.
Well,
is that a fan theory?
Yeah, I don't
he
know.
He just blew my mind.
I don't know any Harry Potter fan theories.
Yeah,
I only know that from the Ideas channel, but it sounds like a weird conspiracy thing of like...
It totally does. Yeah. But
I mean, I heard Coca-Cola was popular because there used to be cocaine in it. That seems to be another key factor.
Well, yeah. That would be... That's a pretty good way to popularize your cola.
Whoever was in charge of marketing was on it.
It's like,
I got it. Let's just put drugs in it.
I know.
Let's put a super addictive drug in it. There's no, maybe if they put cocaine in grape soda, I mean, that would be a scientific test, right? Like,
yeah. 24. Okay, I like booze. I hate marijuana. Which recreational substance might be right for me?
Ooh. Ian, if you want to jump
from
in,
a scientific standpoint,
I mean, it seems like the obvious thing is you said you like booze, so I would guess booze.
No, but it's got to be
a different substance.
Exciting, yeah.
I
want a new thing to try.
Are we looking at?
I've done like no drugs.
I mean, Ipecac will make you nauseous, like alcohol does. So if that's what you're going for,
No, not exactly the effect I'm looking for.
Oh well, okay.
Vomit.
I mean, see, there are no bad ideas when you're brainstorming.
There are. I disagree.
As demonstrated.
You could just take this stuff that makes you puke.
Yeah, I mean that's something.
I mean, I could just eat a bunch of hot dogs.
I don't even know. That's a good question, though.
See, but I guess the question is, what do you like about booze that you don't like about weed or marijuana?
I think I'm suspecting that when I used marijuana, it's not having the effect for me that it seems to have for other people.
Right.
I just feel like foggy and out of it,
sure.
But not in a fun way.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, I don't know. It's like I woke up at 3:30 in the morning.
Right.
And it's just boring and not fun. And like, I can't do anything. And then I start to get like nauseous and dizzy.
Wow.
And so then, like, for alcohol, it feels like you're still alert and aware of what's going on, right. But just enjoying it more.
Yeah.
Did they make... Well, so in Colorado, they have those marijuana sodas, right? Isn't there where you could infuse weed into a alcoholic beverage and really go for
that? Just really combine.
Literally combine them.
Maybe
I'm looking for some middle ground here.
Yeah, like, that seems like good science, right? If, you know, you just try to mix them together.
Yeah, if you have two good things, they will only be better if you put them together.
Exactly.
I don't know, guys.
I mean,
maybe.
Maybe if you take some Adderall and like a whole bunch of beers, you'll be normal.
I guess. Like if they made a weed ginger ale and then I just put whiskey in there.
Yeah, put a little whiskey in there, yeah.
This could work. Maybe I need the combination.
A little splash of Red Bull to just keep you up.
Ganja whale.
A crushed up Adderall.
We're making a drug cocktail at this point.
You just like put the crushed up Adderall as like the salt on a margarita glass.
Around the top, yeah.
I snort it, then I drink this cocktail.
And you bite a lemon because...
Do you think it would blow it like if I asked a doctor for Adderall and then I was like, okay, do you guys like sell the equipment to crush it up and snort it, or is that like something I gotta figure out myself?
Get that at home?
And he's like, okay, never mind.
Do you have a medical mirror for this?
Yeah, a medical Led Zeppelin album that I can do this on.
Sterilized $5 bill.
Okay, last question. This is another polar question.
Okay.
All right.
If Santa and Mrs. Claus fucked and had a baby, what kind of baby would we see?
Is there a correct answer? This sounds like a...
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know it.
It sounded like a riddle.
Yeah, it is kind of like, oh, it would be a this. But no, it's definitely a, like, I don't know what it would be.
I'm guessing some kind of, like, elf.
You think?
Yeah.
An elf?
I'm thinking fat.
Because what if it, like, that's where all the elves come from? Like, but she doesn't... Yeah, I mean...
Those are their kids?
Maybe Mrs. Claus is part elf. That's
I mean, maybe
they have to both be if they've been alive forever.
Maybe they're like, she has litters of elves because there's so many elves.
There are a lot of elves. You'd have to keep
up. You know,
up
and she's got a
production.
Really fast gestation period.
Yeah. Maybe she has big groups of pups.
Yeah.
Pup elves. Oh, God. Elves. That's gross. Yeah. And she's got like a whole thing of nipples.
Teats?
Like
yeah.
a. Oh.
Like she's just got sheets under like those.
Four on each side, eight on each side.
Yeah, I mean, we see a lot of Santa, but we don't see a lot of Mrs. Claus. So she could be like some kind of monster. Some horrible monster.
There's not a lot of Christmas specials about the runt getting crushed under all the other elves trying to feed.
This is true.
You put them in a burlap sack and drown them in the backyard.
Drown them in the river.
This is.
I guess drown them.
Really,
I guess you would really leave them in a burlap. You wouldn't want to leave them in a burlap sack because that would keep them warm a little longer at the North Pole.
That's true.
So you probably want to like just push them naked. Just like push them outside.
Yeah. Exiled to die of the cold.
Oh God! Right.
If it crawls back in, it's gonna survive and become the head elf.
Right.
The more I'm finding out about this, the more I wish I wasn't finding out about this.
What are you Googling?
No.
Just
what you guys are saying. Yeah, by finding out, I mean just hearing speculation.
Well, hearing the speculative thing, you wish you hadn't asked the question in the first place. Yeah.
Well, that's the end of my science questions.
Oh, thank you for having
me. Yeah, thanks for coming. I have a song. There's a Men Without Hands song called Antarctica.
Oh, sweet.
Ooh, wow. I guess this was an unused
exactly
Mega Man track.
Yeah. Is this like the continental anthem for Antarctica?
It is, actually.
Yeah.
We play it every morning.
Well, I guess like, technically they use the word.
I think maybe as a preview for a future episode, it sounds like Philip, like a really lazy Philip Glass song.
It does, yeah.
Like someone would like make a copy of a Philip Glass song and something like, oh.
Just say Antarctica over the top of it a bunch of times.
It would not surprise me to find out that the aforementioned John Carpenter was partially responsible for this. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me. It was great.
Is there anything that you want to, you know, tell people to do or follow you online, or you can remain just a guy?
I actually don't remember what my Twitter handle is, so...
What about, like, a SEAL research thing you work for, or, like, to donate
money for?
Yeah,
if you're interested in the projects, one is Polar Oceans Research Group, doing work with penguins and other seabirds in Antarctica, and then... the Hawaiian Monk Seal Research Program is another program I work for who does great work in Hawaii conserving Hawaiian monk seals.
I think
so
if you
have money to donate, Google
do you have I think Instagram, right?
I do have Instagram, I don't use it a ton. But.
Okay. Because I saw some pictures that I was like, hey, this isn't Colorado.
Right. Yeah, I don't use it a ton, but...
Okay.
There's like a seal or a palm tree.
And Ian is our secondary science advisor.
Yeah.
You were our primary, but you just got busted down. Sorry.
Damn it.
Do you have anything?
I lost the snowball. I lost the science advisory position. I'm like a good solid like fifth place on the Roseanne game.
Don't worry. There's a helpful Snowball 2013 part two in the works. do you have anything you want people to do?
No, I just want to give a shout out to Wilma and say, hey, I'm finally on an episode.
Hooray!
Oh, I will put a disclaimer. None of my opinions on the show represent the people I work for in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
I represent my people all the time.
Represent. All right.
What?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. I feel like